This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
I had a feeling this was going to happen.
Yeah, benches are empty. Here come the bullpens, too.
Yeah, imagine the Astros being mad about stealing signs. But guess what? That's part of the game. When you can see the grip in a glove.
That was Will Middlebrooks.
Gotta love it.
With, I think, maybe the line of the year.
Yeah.
It went viral. A lot of the awful announcing in different sort of media websites picked it up. Imagine the Astros complaining about sign stealing.
I'm wrong.
So, Dan Ball, you did the prep work, so you set the stage. Paint the picture as to why we had a bench clearing. Well, it was just a bench clearing. Nothing came from that.
Yeah.
Wasn't even touching. I don't even think anybody touched each other.
Bench clearing disagreement? Argument?
Chest puff out.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Yeah. Peacocking. Okay, so bottom of the seventh inning, Red Sox are up four runs. Runner on second base, which is Trevor Story.
Yeah.
And I think that's significant because Trevor's a veteran, and he's also Alex Cora's right-hand man. Like,
yep.
If you look at the dugout, it's either Ramon Vasquez, Trevor Story, or Alex Bregman, who's next to Alex Cora. So this is a veteran. He's on second, and Hector Neris is on the mound. So he steps off and intentionally balks to get Trevor to third,
yep,
to get him to stop relaying what he thought was relaying his grip on his splitter to Carlos Narvaez, who was at the plate.
Yep.
So that ended it at the time. End the inning, ground out to third, inning over, as Kyle Hudson, the third base coach, is running back off the diamond. Hector Neris says something. Originally, Hudson was just laughing.
Like, it was, yeah.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Just baseball players being baseball players, whatever. Whatever Neris said next got him to turn around, do a complete 180, and then start an argument that led to a bit of a disagreement. So that's what cleared the dugout, cleared the bullpen. And I think it's just so silly. I mean, Neris, what is he crying about? It's a part of baseball.
Yeah.
It was not involving, and this is where people from other fan bases were getting all up in arms, wasn't involving technology of any kind.
Correct.
It's just an old school kind of thing that happens in baseball. And if you want it to stop, then don't show your grip.
Right.
Change your glove angle so you can't see it at second base. That's a pitcher issue, not a runner issue.
It's really no different than tipping pitches. Just the location,
right,
of the person who's observing the tip.
Right.
Right. Like sometimes it's the dugout, sometimes it's the on-deck batter, whatever it may be. You were basically tipping pitches to,
yeah,
a person who could then relay it. And the second thing is, you say it's not sign stealing, it's not technology, it's not a modern,
it's not a
scandal.
League.
And I don't know whether it's legal or not illegal in Little League baseball. I saw,
yeah,
the exact same thing. They paused one of these regional Little League World Series games because a guy on second, there was some confusion as the kid tipping. I think he was like opening his palm like a fastball's coming, and they delayed it. They had to go speak with the regional tournament director, blah, blah, and then they came back out. Kid hit a grand slam.
So there you go. Perfect.
Didn't really solve the issue.
You got to be a little bit more discreet about it. You can't be like flashing numbers or whatever.
Right.
It's like, you know, all right, brush off your knee. That's a fastball. Adjust your helmet. That's a curveball. Like,
right,
give me a little signage.
I also think you need to be a little bit more discreet in your pushing back against it if you're the Astros or the,
yes,
pitcher.
Yeah.
You can be, I'm not telling you don't be mad. I get mad about a million things a day, right? We all know that. A million things a show.
Yeah.
Mad all the time.
Yes.
But be a little bit more discreet. And as Will Middlebrooks brings up, you're the Astros.
Right.
I don't care whether he was part of it or not. You need to know who you are, what it says on the front of your jersey, what history is. Like, have a little awareness of the situation. So it was a fun side story, right? And Cora was out there kind of moving people back and doing his,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, kind of doing like a get out of here motion with his hands.
And it's also funny that this series has a boatload of Astros in it. Not just the current Astros. You get Carlos Correa back in an Astros uniform. You have Bregman, who was on. You have Cora, who was part, yeah, of those Astros. Like, there's,
you're Carlos Beltran away from a reunion of the,
right,
of the group that did all that stuff. And I also think it's important to acknowledge, like, That's a part of the Reds, not the illegal stuff. The legal stealing signs, yeah. Getting the advantage. There was that great angle, the side view of Roman Gonzalez hitting the home run in Philadelphia, where you can see Cora flash a sign to the first base coach, who sends it to Romy, who tells him what's coming, who then hits the home run. And yeah, the immediate high five. Like, you yeah. can hear it across the diamond, the high five between Cora and Vasquez. Like, Alex Cora is a baseball mind that is always looking for a leg up on the competition, and that's just kind of part of who he is.
As everyone is, or yeah. should be.
Right.
Or should, and have been for 100 years.
Right.
Where you get into the trouble is the Apple Watches and the equipment and cameras and
you get too smart for your own
things.
Good.
But when you do it traditionally, yep. like a coach, you know, there's a reason catchers used to try to hide their signs. Why? Because the coaches can relay them, like the first and third base coach
right.
might be able to see it. Like different things along the way. Now technology has actually changed some of that with the pitch comm and different
right,
things.
Right. So you're actually, yeah, you're fighting back against it.
Right.
All the more reason, hey, Neris, somebody in 2025 is stealing your pitches.
Right.
Change something, my man.
And guess what? It could happen to Lucas Giolito. It mm-hmm. could happen to Dustin May. Could happen to any of them.
Right.
Now, it might not, because I think Alex Cora is good at it, and the first person who might notice the pitcher is tipping his pitches would be the manager in his dugout.
Right.
And that's good to have, right? That's self-scouting.
Again, another advantage of why Alex Cora is your manager and not somebody else's.
Oh, I feel like you might be teasing a three-point stance for later about Alex Cora and his value to the baseball team and how things are going. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to your state, your great state, Lori in Connecticut.
Love
What's
it.
Up, Lori?
Hi there. So, don't judge, but I just finally watched The Comeback on Netflix, and I couldn't help but make the comparison between the Nomar trade and the Devers trade, and how getting rid of the clubhouse cancer set the team on a positive trajectory, and I think that that's what's happening now. I mean, I'm realistic enough to know that the shoe could drop at any given time, but I feel as though the young ones on this team are hungry, and they want to prove themselves, and they're having a ball, and they're playing loose, and that's what we want, and I'm so grateful, and I never ever thought in a million years I'd ever say I'm grateful for Alex Bregman being on my team, because he and Trevor Story have been the leadership component that we've needed for a very long time.
Thanks for the call, Lori. I agree with almost everything she said.
Yeah.
And I think this is something that came to me because clubhouses or locker rooms, whatever you want to call it, the vibe, the dressing room, I think it matters in all sports.
Yeah.
I think there's I've always had the debate, though, like what comes first, the winning or the good clubhouse, kind of the chicken or the egg kind of thing. Doesn't it matter in baseball as much as anywhere where games are long, nights are long, weeks are long, months are long, seasons are long? Like all that time, if there is a negative air or feeling or energy in a clubhouse, I think that can derail you more so than like a football game.
Yeah.
You only play once a week. And let's be honest, if we get a pick six, that changes everything immediately and like you can get by. But if you're going through the marathon season, week, flights, road trips, different things, and everything is just a little off or negative, that's going to wear on you. It's impossible for it to not wear on.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for a baseball season. I mean, you're barely seeing anybody outside of your teammates. Where in a
right.
football season, all right, whatever, we lost, we got blown out, but let's fly home. I'm sleeping in my own bed. I'm seeing my family. We get back at it. We have a full week to flush it and get back at it. In a baseball season, especially on the road, oh, we just lost, and in, check the watch, 12 more hours, we have to go back with the same group
yep.
and try to completely forget what just happened.
Or conversely, we just won. Maybe we shouldn't have. Maybe we should have lost, but
yeah.
we just won. We found a way to win, just like we did the other day, and we get to go back out there tomorrow and do it again. And maybe tomorrow we actually have better talent, better matchups, better whatever, and then all of a sudden, it's snowballing for the positive. So I do... You know, we always talk about Bill James and different, you know, clutch and momentum,
yeah,
and quantification
yeah.
of these things.
They've tried to.
Yeah, they can't.
No.
They can't.
No.
Alex Cora has done a pretty good job at least leading it and measuring it this year. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines to everybody's favorite caller, Steve in Fall River. What's up, Steve?
How are you? So I have a group of friends. They're very lucky. They're on a text thread with me. And... before I get to them, I called you guys the morning after the Devers trade. I said I was up all night partying, and I said, I'm printing T-shirts, addition by subtraction, 2025. And here we are seeing it. We
That's
don't
it.
Have to make up for his money at the trade deadline. What it was allowed Cora to do with this lineup, getting this roadblock cancer baby, underperforming buffoon out of the way was good. Why we lionized the guy that traded the GM out there in San Francisco, that's just us.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Yeah, they're a better baseball team without Rafi Devers. They made what is a externally or superficially difficult trade, whereas internally, I think they thought it was pretty easy. They pretty much wanted him out of here from
seemed to be
owner straight on down through.
To the point where you couldn't wait to the trade deadline, where I would be very curious to see what you would have gotten in return, but they needed to make it happen.
Sure.
And they did. I would also argue something else on the Devers trade. Yes, I think the sheer removal of the presence and seemingly the black cloud over your team is significant, but around that same time, Trevor Story became one of the best hitters in the American League. He's a 300 hitter with the most RBIs since June 1st. You made that trade on June 15th. That's one. Jarren Duran has completely refound his 2024 All-Star borderline MVP form. So at the same time, you've also had performances from your veterans, from
Correct.
The guys that set the tone in your clubhouse that have now started to match what you needed from them. So yes, I think there's something to you remove Devers from the equation and it kind of lightens the load for everybody else. No fat pun intended. But you're also getting performances from the guys who are supposed to be your best players over the last month plus, and I don't think that's insignificant.
I also think we need to acknowledge that at the time of the trade, in defending the trade, your general manager, Craig Breslow, said, I think when it's all said and done, we might win more games without him, basically, than we would have won with him.
And we thought he was out of his mind.
We did, and we've criticized him for a lot of things he's said and done over the course of this season, talking about urgency and what they were going to do and things that didn't come to fruition at the trade deadline. Well, that's one thing he said that so far was prescient. He was right.
Yep.
They're going to be a better team, T-E-A-M, not a collection of talent maybe, but a better team
yeah.
than they would have been with Rafi Devers. And the winning, the record... Well, the numbers I was doing are 19 of their last 25, Dan Ball. It's a pretty good baseball team, right?
That's a fantastic 19
and
baseball
six.
Team. Through a pretty tough stretch.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
After
oh, yeah.
which now you have the 16th hardest strength of schedule. Some very, very winnable games outside of another series against Houston coming up.
So Craig Breslow may have some faults, but he was seemingly right on that one. He got that one right with not only the Devers trade, but how he felt it would affect his baseball team. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls reacting. We think positively to what's going on here at Fenway Park with the Boston Red Sox. Up next, though, we do need to address a minor little hiccup from
Let's
the weekend.
Go. Been waiting all weekend for this.
I don't seek beefs and feuds, but they seem to seek me. And we've had a few of them here on WEEI Afternoons. It relates to the trade deadline. It relates to Jared Carrabas from Nesson. We'll touch on that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
He's also just apparently he's a huge because I mean he apparently had I didn't listen to the segment. I just had people tweet it at me. Apparently he had a lot to say and he was saying it with his chest, but when I confronted him about it, man, did he cower like a little. So Andy, I know that you're at Fenway a lot. I'll see you soon, pal. I mean, I'll be around. I'm always around. So we can have a chat, or maybe we won't. Maybe you'll hide. I don't know, but I'm not too hard to find.
Woo! That was Jared Carrabas, Nesson Section 10 podcast. I guess Dan Ball Sunday.
Saturday. Oh, the episode was Sunday. Yes.
Okay.
The original kerfuffle started on Saturday.
So. Jared, I am here at Fenway Park, just like you, apparently, 2 to 6, many days per week. We're in our studio. There's big windows to our left on Lansdowne Street. There's a door to our right. You are welcome to come through that door anytime you would like. Would love to hash it out. So some people are probably like, wait, what the hell's going on? Why is Jared Carrabas mad
that
at
includes
Andy?
Those
yeah, that
involved,
was like me.
I would
yeah,
argue.
That was me
yeah.
last night.
Well, a little background before Dan Ball reads the tweet from Jared Carrabas that sort of ignited this whole thing.
Yep.
So last week we were talking about trade deadline and various reports and Joe Ryan and things that were out there and Jared Karabas. Dan Ball, you're a fan of his work.
I am. I full cards on the table. I've been listening to Section 10 since college, so I've followed his work for a while.
And you often bring me information, opinions, audio, things that come from him, and you were like, he says they're at the 5-yard line, they just kind of need to punch it in type thing.
Yeah, both me and Brian Ferzocco were monitoring his stream during the trade deadline because as you know, I was on the trade desk, so I was trying to find any bit of information that was helpful. So in addition to watching Pass and Nightingale, all those, I was monitoring to see if there was any. And, you know, there were certain times where there were blips, like, oh, there may be something that's developing here. So his name kind of entered the conversation on Thursday.
And so I think at one point I said something to the effect of, and I'm pretty sure I'm paraphrasing accurately here, he works for Nesson. He's a self-professed super fan, as anyone who's watched the game knows, because they air those commercials a lot with him and the foam finger and, you know, Papelbon and the whole thing. And I said, maybe we just need to take some of his reports with a grain of salt, because obviously they never got it over the goal line. They never got Joe Ryan. We even now have conflicting reports out of Minnesota and Boston, actually, whether it was even close or whether it was a last-minute thing, whatever. And so apparently he took offense to that. Little background information for Jared Karabas, because I guess he may not be overly familiar with me. I worked for the Patriots for 20 years, Patriots.com, Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots preseason broadcasts, all of those things.
Brag.
So I absolutely brag. It got me where I am, Stiz. It was the background to the career we see now.
Sure.
So I dealt with this, like, are you an analyst? Are you a team honk? Are you the house organ? Whatever.
Where's the information coming from, and what's the end goal with it?
And in today's world, I think we all say, what's the information? Where's it coming from? And who benefits from this information?
Right.
So I do that a lot. You know I do that a lot.
Of course.
Crap sheet with anybody. Anybody that reports anything, I kind of try to figure out where they got it, why they got it, whatever. But so then I'm driving home from New Hampshire on Saturday, and my phone starts blowing up with people sending me tweets, screen captures, Paul Perillo, John Lyons, Mike Giardi. There were some of my son's friends were sending me a tweet put out by Jared Karabas that said what, Dan Ball?
Who the blank is Andy Hart? No tag, just Andy Hart.
At me, bro.
And why is he talking about me? That was the original tweet, 2:46 on Saturday. I was also in Portland with my parents finishing up lunch, and I had David and Jacob and a couple other people from around the station sending like, hey, just so you're aware, this is about to start.
So John Lyons was the first, so I replied to him, not sure what this is about, but I guess I should probably introduce myself.
Yes.
So all I did was reply to the tweet.
That's me, and that's kind of part of my job. I love when the exclamation points come out because I hear you saying it.
Was there anything wrong with that reply? He asked me a question.
Yeah.
Two questions, actually.
Yeah.
Didn't at me, so I guess he just asked the general Twitter audience.
You identified yourself, and you identified why he may have came up in conversation specific to you.
Right.
I think.
And then there was some back and forths. I was in various states of engagement, in various states of having a few beers by the pool, different things of that nature. And it really went nowhere. I actually thought it had kind of petered out, died out. We kind of left it with both passive aggressive, like, good day, take care, good day.
Right.
And I thought it was done until you brought the audio we had just played to my attention. But we have a little more audio, Stiz. Little did I know that apparently Jared Karabas is aware of our show and people on our show and fan of certain people on our show, just not me.
And apparently I know that they do their show at Fenway because his co-host, Ted Johnson, I ran into him about a week ago at Fenway. Nicest guy. Shook his hand. He said he was a big fan of what we do. He said he loved the show and to keep up the great work. That's what he said. His co-host said that to me.
So he's aware of Ted Johnson.
Has
which
Ted listened to this?
We all are.
Ted told us he ran into Karabas last
he
week.
He did. That's
he
true.
Did?
He told,
yep,
yes, he
did.
Told us that
okay.
in the studio.
You know, I don't have a great memory, and sometimes listening can be an issue for me.
That's
so
true.
He has met Ted Johnson, met him here at Fenway Park, and loves Ted. Ted loves him. So I'm just the odd man out in this little love triangle, apparently. But I think it's water under the bridge. I think we've moved on. But again, there's an open invitation here at the Fenway Park Ford Clubhouse Studio. Jared Karabas, you want to come down, talk about it, talk about media careers? Because I like his energy. I'll tell you one thing I like that I think is similar between the two of us. We have energy. He likes baseball probably more than I do. I like football probably more than he does. But I think we bring similar passion to our various jobs that I think is admirable.
Yeah, you guys are both very prideful in your work. And very confident in the work that you do. So I think it was two confident media individuals.
Cocky?
I said confident. You throw whatever Stiz, word
you, you agreed with cocky?
Well, I just had a problem when you were like, Dan, I mean, I just responded. I mean, I'm just being Mr. Innocent Andy Hart. You were being Petty Krueger. You are the most competitive guy I know. And even in your panda emoji responses, there's some cockiness behind them. So,
Stiz, I was taught if someone asks you a question, you answer it.
No, listen, right? I get it. Like if someone says, you know, especially in this industry, when people tweet about our show or about us, it is very hard for me to not clap back. I maybe think it could have been done in a different way. I like Jared.
Meow.
I get where he's coming from. But yeah, you both
what are
were
you sucking
you
up
both,
to him for.
No, you both were being Petty Krueger. You both were being Petty Krueger.
And I believe Dan Ball, you said elsewhere in the podcast, he actually acknowledged that he can be petty.
Yeah, it was kind of ironic. It was the podcast before where he was talking about going back and forth with members of their Reddit page for the podcast, and he was going back on the same thing.
Does he use a panda emoji too? Are we like the same person?
I honestly, hand to God, I think if you guys actually do get the chance to interact, which I really hope you do, I think you'd find more common ground with your personalities than maybe you realize. I think there's just a lot that's kind of getting lost in translation over Twitter and then two separate shows.
Tends to
that's
happen.
That's my personal opinion, just knowing you and working with you and then listening to his content for a while.
It's kind of like my feud with Will Fleming. It was short-lived, but it was passionate for a couple of years. Told people like me to F off, right? So yeah. It happens, and then we clear it up and you become a friend of the show.
But the see me at Fenway Park was a little crazy. That angle.
Yeah, I was a little worried. Dan Ball and I were walking in. I was looking behind every post.
And you don't have Ted Johnson with you there today,
right,
too. So.
Right, I had Dan. I
never good when I'm the muscle.
No offense, Dan, but I feel much better when Ted's around
and
has my back.
You've seen me try to tackle before. I take no offense to that.
All right, 617-779-7937. We are reacting not to that. We're reacting to the Boston Red Sox turning their season around, exploding, heading towards the postseason. But we're also here at 3 o'clock Fenway Park in the Ford Clubhouse Studios. It means it's time for the 3-point stance, where for the rare second time in like a month, I'm going to have something to say about the WNBA, and it may involve the acronym WTF WNBA. That's up next here on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.